Welcome to Unruly's official podcast, a series dedicated to unpicking key topics affecting the digital advertising and media industry. Find us at unruly.co.
I'm Alexandra Dean, Tremor International's Senior Director of Partnerships and Strategy. During this episode, I'm joined by Jess Trainer, Comscore's Vice President of Ad Platform Partnerships. Welcome, Jess. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. Today, we're going to be delving into the evolution of audience targeting in a post-cookie world. With Google's third-party cookie deprecation plans coming into effect in 2023, Comscore is leading the charge in offering publishers, advertisers, and platforms scalable solutions to reach the right audience across the right environments. With products like predictive audiences and contextual targeting innovations, enabling advertisers to reach individuals across a myriad of environments, including CTV, Comscore are changing antiquated perceptions of contextual targeting and helping players across the advertising ecosystem future-proof their targeting strategies. So, Jess, 2023, just around the corner, I'd like to kick things off by getting your take on how ready the industry is for this impending cookie deprecation.
Yeah, so I wish I could say we were more prepared. I think as an industry, we still have a way from being fully prepared. Google made this announcement back in 2020, and I think the announcement came out. There was a lot of urgency, almost panic around what we're going to do and what are going to be the next steps. But then when Google kind of delayed this announcement and delayed third-party deprecation in the summer of 2021, it almost gave everyone this false sense of security that, hey, we have a little bit more time and maybe there's going to be more delays. So I think that there's still a ways to go. But that being said, there's several areas where the industry really has come together. And I think it's really encouraging. And as far as preparing and some of the innovations, some of the key things I've been, you know, watching and continuing to keep my eye on is the WFA's initiative around cross-media measurement, the ANA's cross-media measurement initiative, and then even universal IDs. I think that we've seen in the past several months and past year, lots of new universal IDs coming to the forefront, whether that's ID5, LiveRamp Identity Link, even UID 2.0. And with the Trade Desk UID 2.0, we've seen, you know, them moving more towards an open and transparent leadership around this. I think most recently, prebid.org is taking over UID 2.0. So it's encouraging that different players in the industry are coming together to really approach this milestone event that we're all waiting to happen here in 2023. As far as Comscore, I don't think we ever took our foot off the gas, even when that announcement came around the delayed response from Google. We've had this aggressive approach towards what we're going to do with third-party cookie deprecation. And we're really taking more of a multi-pronged approach to, yes, we're diving in on universal IDs, but I think we're still concerned about which of these are really going to be scalable. We are increasing our contextual coverage, and we've even launched our own cookie-less targeting solution, Predictive Audiences. We didn't want to wait on the sidelines and wait and be reliant on other parties in the industry. We did want to come to the forefront with our own solution for cookie-less targeting. So yeah, I think there's still a ways to go, but there's a lot of good things that are happening in the industry right now.
Yeah, absolutely. I think platforms and data partners have definitely started to think, what next? At least for the last 6 months, it definitely seems to be everyone's asking what each other's strategy is, what's the plan so we can all align together. But I would say, I'd be curious to understand from your side, what should advertisers be doing? What kind of questions should they be asking their agencies, their platform partners, data providers, so that they're prepared for this change?
Yeah, the big thing I would say is the time is now, right? We are running out of time. So you need to start doing your testing right now. From a targeting perspective, some of the things I would recommend is that advertisers and agencies, they should be doing a review of the data they use today for targeting. So understanding what's going to be around, what won't be around in 2023, or what impacts, right? If they have, you know, a full scalable solution, is that all of a sudden going to be shrinking? And they need to be talking to their partners. So really taking an inventory of what they're doing today and talking to partners to figure out what are those partners doing to help them with supporting their business once third-party cookies go away. they also need to be exploring cookie-less targeting options. So like I just said, the time is now to start this testing because you still have access to ID-based targeting as well as cookie-less, and you can start to compare and figure out, you know, how cookie-less compares to ID-based targeting. One thing I would note is because Comscore released predictive audiences last year, we've actually had a few case studies in market showing the impact that these audiences can have on campaign performance. So we were working with an automotive brand who was looking to drive actions like scheduling a test drive, contacting a dealer form, applying for credit. And they tested out Comscore's cookie-less in-market automotive segment against an ID-based in-market automotive segment. What they found was that the cookie-less segment actually drove 74% lower CPA compared to the behavioral audience segment. So really for them, this was a great proof of concept that cookie-less targeting can work. I would also recommend that brands are looking at their first-party data. I think we continue to hear about how important first-party data is going to be. So just keeping an eye on that and making sure that they're looking to future-proof first-party data. And then from a measurement perspective, that's a whole other side of the coin here. And there's a lot that partners could be doing right now. They need to be connecting with their measurement providers, figuring out what those providers are doing, how those providers are looking ahead. Brands should be trying to participate in POCs if they can to help the industry prepare. So I had alluded to the ANA, but Comscore is currently participating in this POC with the ANA and other leading CPG brands to pilot our virtual people ID, which in short is going to help to continue to support reach and frequency and demographic reporting, even when cookies go away. So these types of POCs are really important to, again, be doing now.
Yeah, absolutely. You're right. It's the opportunity to do A/B testing and innovate and at the forefront of it. Like you said, there is a big opportunity for a lot of these advertisers to have their name in the trade press showing that they're innovating. It's great for customers to see. It's great for brands to start to innovate and send that message up the chain. So fantastic.
Exactly. And to your point, like if we continue to wait and we don't do the testing now, it's going to be too late to get that great comparison. Mm-hmm. So definitely some urgency behind getting that in place now.
Absolutely. I mean, we touched on this a little bit already, but you know, the cookie apocalypse, you know, it has mm-hmm. forced the industry to rethink measurement and their targeting strategies. But I guess I'd love to just pivot a little bit to the contextual piece. You know, only a few years ago, you know, many advertisers were reluctant to allocate sizable budgets to contextual targeting. Why do you think that was the case? And how has the contextual product evolved to meet the expectations of advertisers?
Yeah, I think from a contextual standpoint, once user ID-based targeting became more sophisticated and just more widely available, contextual really took a backseat as advertisers started to see the promise of audience targeting with the scalability that it offered and the ability to go outside of just endemic content. Lots of advertisers with contextual had concerns around, one, it was relying heavily on keyword targeting. So was that really getting them the accuracy or them helping them find the right audience if it was so heavily reliant on keywords? There was also concerns around the limited channels that you could run on. Contextual historically has really been great at finding and looking at page content, not so great with mobile app content or CTV or video. So I think there's been some concerns there. And overall, just from a contextual standpoint, just was it going to give them the scale they needed? So there's a lot of hesitation there. I do think, though, even as audience targeting became more prominent, advertisers were still absolutely relying on contextual for brand safety and suitability. That's continued to be a chief concern for many brands. And even thinking of, you know, the past several years with misinformation, that becoming an even hotter topic and something that brands are really looking to avoid and ensuring they have some structure around how they're not putting budget towards misinformation content. But as far as how contextual has evolved, I really think we're kind of seeing this reemergence of contextual. there's been a lot of innovation and increase in technology with regards to artificial intelligence, machine learning, more semantic-based approaches. So a lot has happened within the contextual space over the past 10 years. And that's really where ComScore has really been laser-focused. So what we're thinking about with our predictive audiences is almost reinventing contextual as we've historically thought of it. So with predictive audiences, we're actually using these cookie-free audiences and providing a crosswalk between audience behaviors and privacy-friendly contextual signals. So when we created the solution, I mentioned before, we didn't want to have dependency or wait around for one universal ID to win out among the rest. We wanted to make sure that we were bringing something to market that was future-proof and could be leveraged globally. For us, this was so important, especially, Alexandra, you know, there's so many differences in regulations across different countries and different markets. We wanted to create something that really could be used globally and could withstand the test of time as more regulations came out. With predictive audiences, we're truly taking contextual a step further by applying audience behaviors and helping to identify which types of content are the strongest predictor of a target audience. And with the solution, we're actually partnering with other data providers in the industry to ensure that it covers a range of verticals. So working with, for instance, IRI to convert CPG purchaser behaviors to cookieless segments, or with IOTA to convert B2B decision makers to cookieless segments. And the other thing I would mention, I know I said before that we're still a long way from being prepared, but since we launched Predictive Audiences, we've actually seen over 3,000 advertisers use these segments in market. So that to me was really encouraging that people aren't just waiting around. There are the active testing that's happening.
That's really fantastic. Yeah, I think from a global perspective, there are a lot of global advertisers who are navigating the difficult path of making sure that they are compliant with all of the local government regulations, the privacy regulations. And that is a constantly evolving situation that they need to be finding solutions that still give them the scale, but also align with the privacy regulations and expectations. So I know that we've seen a lot of interest from our advertisers and clients about how do you find ID-free solutions in markets that have such stringent privacy regulations like Europe, but still be able to target on behavioral interest, intent, all of these key markers for targeting, but in a compliant way. And I think the predictive audience is a fantastic solve for that. And with the scale behind it and tying it back to really premium publishers, it's definitely been, at least the feedback that we've heard has been fantastic.
And actually, one thing I would even go off of that around, we were just talking to an advertiser that was really looking to target vegan consumers. And from a contextual perspective, they would be limited today by using, with your traditional contextual, they'd be limited to target content like vegan recipes, vegan lifestyle. There's only a small subset of contextual categories they could actually go after. But as you mentioned with scalability, with predictive audiences, because we are taking that behavioral aspect in conjunction with contextual, they can actually target outside of just that endemic content and find other content that's still a high predictor of attracting a vegan audience. So maybe we find that it's also content that's about adventure travel or eco-friendly products. Those are still great areas for them to run their advertising. And as a result, they're not just limited to only running on specific content to vegan lifestyle. So I think that's also easing the mind of contextual actually does have the power to go outside of just endemic content.
Absolutely. And opening advertisers' comfort with all the different environments that you can actually reach those people. It's not necessarily, like you said, as traditional as a vegan recipe website. It really is like, you know, someone who is interested in vegan food is also interested in a myriad of other things. So it's right, reaching them across the internet, not just when they're searching for what to have for dinner.
Exactly.
Amazing. So I know you had touched on earlier CTV. I'd be really interested to delve into that a little further. As you know, environments like CTV are not traditionally suited to that page level contextual targeting solution. There's been a rapid growth in the CTV space, especially in since the COVID-19 pandemic, and a lot of people staying at home and consuming a lot of content. So I'd be really interested to understand how do data providers like Comscore, like how have you evolved your product to support that CTV environment?
I think you're right. Most contextual providers have crawlers and are really good at categorizing page level content, right? We've gotten really sophisticated at that, but it hasn't evolved to really take into account video and CTV. But this is something Comscore, again, has put as one of our chief goals for the past year, was just expanding what we were doing with CTV as it related to contextual. That's actually part of the partnership we did with the Unruly team. Obviously, you guys are experts in video and CTV, and that's something that we've been partnering with your team on, is how do we continue to expand contextual to CTV? Some of the things we've been doing, which we truly believe are innovative and have given us greater contextual reach than most other contextual providers in the market, is looking at other CTV attributes and seeing what else can be passed to Comscore through the bid stream. So other indicators like a content ID or a CTV bundle ID or metadata, like a genre or content rating or episode title, those types of indicators that Comscore can take in-house. And also Comscore knows so much information about consumers' viewership, we can bump that up against our own internal database, and we can make really sophisticated assignment that we can then pass back to your team so that buyers can use that to target on CTV. So really, we're going way beyond what we traditionally thought of just crawling a page to get an understanding of what the content is, to now getting way more sophisticated with CTV and what's being passed there. I think you and I both know some of the challenges there, of course, are not all publishers pass information in the same way. They don't all pass the same type of information. So that's also been a big learning curve that we're continuing to evolve and innovate on, is taking a holistic approach in that we don't want to rely on one indicator like content ID, or we only can categorize if we see the episode title. That's not going to give us the coverage we need. We're taking a holistic approach to ensure any indicator that's coming through, we're going to take that information, make an assignment, and pass it back so that advertisers can get the scale they're looking for.
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah, I think, once we start to have a more cohesive framework that CTV publishers and content IDs are being passed over, absolutely, we have to be quite creative in the data points that we're using. I know that this has been a pretty monumental shift for us as CTV leaders, but for advertisers as well, looking to reach these key target audiences in these environments that they know that there's a lot of time being spent consuming content, that we're able to then be more specific with our targeting that isn't necessarily just a site list. It's definitely a really positive shift in the right direction.
Yep.
I guess just to wrap things up, I'd love to get your take on, in a world without third-party cookies, do you envisage there being a challenge to measuring campaign ROIs? Like, what are advertisers going to need to do? Do they need to start redefining KPIs and what their definitions and measure of success is?
Yeah, I think there's going to be a shift with third-party deprecation happening. Things can't stay exactly as they are. So they're one of the big things, I think, from a measurement perspective is MTA and the ability for advertisers to understand the impact of different parts of their media plan. We've come so far as an industry from moving away from last exposure or last view attribution and getting so much more sophisticated with multi-touch attribution. But I do have concerns that now that third-party cookies are going away, is that going to impact MTA models? And will advertisers really be able to understand which parts of their plan are having the most impact? So that's one area that I see as a challenge. As far as KPIs, and will advertisers need to redefine their key performance indicators, I think it's unknown. We just don't know at this point exactly what's going to happen and what changes will need to be made there. So I think the jury's still out. But I think also the part of the reason that Comscore released predictive audiences is we want to ensure that brands do have cookie-free targeting solutions that can still drive their KPIs so they don't have to sacrifice the performance that they've seen before, which we've seen in some of the case studies we've been doing. So I think there's changes coming, but a little bit unknown still at this point.
Yeah, maybe we'll need to sit down this time next year and revisit everything, and maybe we can recap everything that we have spoken about this year and see where we're at.
Yeah, that would be great.
Fantastic. Well, Jess, it was a pleasure speaking with you today. You know, I think it's really exciting to know, like, there are endless innovations to audience targeting. No, it's not all doom and gloom. I think, you know, I would definitely be encouraging our listeners to start thinking about their future strategies now. Definitely don't be waiting until next year to form a plan. Great. All right. Well, thank you so much, Jess, and we'll speak to you soon.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to Unpicking Digital Advertising with Unruly. Don't forget to subscribe to get all the latest updates. And look out for our next episode coming soon. Find us at unruly.co.